Today on Real Radio.
Because if I'm limited and he's not, and I need to make the right decisions in life, don't you? Then why don't we talk to him and get his answer on the matter?
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his topical series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. It is said that the average number of decisions we make each day numbers anywhere from a couple of hundred to several thousand. And of course, some decisions are wiser than others. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates from Scripture that we believers have the highest resource to tap into regarding the choices we make in this presentation called The Discipline of Decision.
Matthew chapter 28, it's all about discipleship and disciple making. That's what this series is about. And discipleship is having a disciplined life. And so in this Discipline of Life series, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things," that's what we're doing on these nights together, "that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And now tonight, Jeremiah 42, verse 6. Just turn a whole lot to your left to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 6. There the scripture says, "Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God." And he goes on to say, "that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." Christian, tonight, listen up carefully. God's guidance in our lives guarantees for us certain comforts that is available to the believer, the Bible-reading Christian. And we need to revel in that fact. Over and over again, we talk about God's word and the need or the necessity to have it at work in our lives. And yet God's word not only speaks about our future, speaks about our current, speaks about the past, but it is a book that is alive. The book of Hebrews tells us that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word of God that lives and breathes, and it causes us to experience a victorious Christian life. And so when we talk about the disciplines of life and the disciplines tonight of decision, it is absolutely imperative that we understand something from the get-go. And that is, our God is perfect. God is holy. God makes no mistakes ever. I'm not saying that because I want that to be true. I'm saying it because it is true. That's one of the reasons why he's my God. If he was a God that made mistakes or was capricious, changed his mind, was unstable, I'd have nothing to do with him. You can trust him. And if we are Christians, and we are, and if this is the word of God, and it is, then why can't we make better decisions in our lives? This is a very critical issue, and it plagues the church today. I think if we decided to follow the word of God and make godly decisions, I think that we would spare ourselves a lot of grief. Not only that, we would, in making the right decisions, bring to our lives a lot of great blessings. Look, you guys know me by now. I am not a positive confession, word, faith, movement person. I believe that's heresy. But I will tell you this, God blesses obedience. There's no doubt about it. Ask Abraham. Ask Isaac. Ask Jacob. Ask Daniel. Ask Jeremiah. Ask God's people throughout the word. Ask God's people throughout the world. God blesses obedience. So we should have some fun tonight. And I noticed that when we were worshiping tonight, a lot of young people were coming in. That's good. Because let me tell you something. If us old folk can teach you youngins some wisdom from the word of God and it spares you some grief, then hallelujah. Then praise the Lord. The disciplines of decision, number one, jot it down in your note-taking, it's this, and that is be willing to ask for his guidance. Number one thing that you want to write down about making godly decisions is be willing to ask him for his guidance. The Lord is desiring. Psalm chapter 32, verse 8 says this, and this is a great promise. Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. That's God speaking. I will counsel you and I will watch over you. Do not be like the horse or like the mule who have no understanding but must be controlled with a bit and a bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Boy, I tell you, that's a great promise. You want to be blessed in life? Listen. You want to be blessed in life? Seek God and find out what he wants by asking him for guidance. What's that old song? Help me out. It goes something like this. Oh, what needless pain we bear when we fail to take it to God in prayer, or something like that. I'm close. Asking God. Listen to this. God, where should I go to school? My goodness, in our culture, in our society, should you go to school? You got to get a bulletproof vest and everything else. Who should I marry? Should I take that job? What church should I be going to? Where should I be serving? What should I be doing with my life? Did you know that God's got the answer for every one of those questions? Every one of them. Be willing to ask him for his guidance. Jot this down. Be willing to ask this way. Recognize your limitation. We need to recognize real quick that we are limited. Can we all admit to that? I don't need to bend your arm, right? I mean, you're the Wednesday night group. You guys are smart. We are limited in what we can see and what we can know. Listen, I've shared this with you guys in the past, but it's happened to me time and time again. So listen, I'm going to share it again. Whenever I'm coming home and I've got to get back home to my house or to the church quickly, and when I say coming back home, I'll be flying in either into LAX or John Wayne Airport coming into land. I'm always looking out the window to check out the freeway conditions. I'm serious. Because I know I've got to either get from LAX to this church or from John Wayne Airport, you know, to my home here or whatever. And I'm looking. Why? Because from that vantage point, you can see everything. I don't need some traffic report when I can see it on my own. From that vantage point where God is at, he sees it all. You need to believe him regarding that. You need to trust him regarding that. He knows everything. He knows exactly what you're going to be going through next week, next month, next year. There's nothing that surprises him. So in that, recognize that you and I are limited in how far we can see. We're limited in how much we can understand. You and I, we don't know everything. And so we need to humbly ask God for help. I truly believe, listen, if you today began to discipline your life to start asking the Lord 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day before your day happens, Lord, lead me and guide me. Didn't I share with you last week, I think it was, where your daily Bible reading, take your daily Bible reading and convert that into your prayer topic? It's very powerful. And if you look at this last week's daily Bible reading, and if you use that time for prayer, like many of you have and many of you do, you're never at a loss for prayer. The topics are more than enough and how they apply to your life. And as I challenge you guys, you begin to see God answering. He wants to answer our prayers, and especially when you and I are limited because we can't see everything. The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you lust and you do not have. He says that you murder, that is, you hate someone and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. My goodness, look at that verse. All of these things that are going on in your life that's a negative, James says, is present because you don't ask God for help. Lord, help. Lord, I'm limited. Lord, I'm weak. God, I need your guidance. And he's faithful. The Lord is our well, as it were, to draw water from. In Psalm 145, verse 3, the Bible says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Church, that word unsearchable means you cannot find the bottom of his wisdom and knowledge. So look, you guys, if he's our God, is he not? If he's our God and we are his people, then we have unlimited resources to tap into, though we ourselves are limited. It's okay for us to be weak because he's strong. It's okay for us not to know everything. First of all, we don't have the capacity to know everything. Study all you want. I mean, you should, but you ain't going to know it all. But he does. He can give you the wisdom to all that you're acquiring in this world regarding knowledge. Wow. Understand the limitations. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. He's almost begging us to ask him. Lord, I need your guidance. Tonight as a church, we should be praying, oh Lord, I need your guidance in my life. Man, don't we all need that? I mean, how many times in a day do we need his guidance? Ask, he said, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. And everyone who asks receives. That's a tremendous promise right there. Jesus is saying, come on, ask, ask. We ask. Ask me. He says, seek, you're going to find. Knock, I'll open it up for you. Isn't that a great promise? So listen, you say, Jack, you know, what are you getting so excited about? Because if I'm limited and he's not, and I need to make the right decisions in life, don't you? Then why don't we talk to him and get his answer on the matter? Amen. Listen, I'm going to say something that's going to kind of shock you. You and I do not have to make mistakes. We don't have to make them. Why do we make them? Can we all agree that when we make them, it's because we either we don't listen to God, or we'll talk more on one of the things in a moment, we thought it was God, or we talked ourselves into thinking it was God. That's a big one. We try to answer for God. It's almost like we're like in a different world where we say, oh man, I need an answer for this thing. And you know, many times we have this thing in our minds where we ask the question of God or we ask for his guidance, but we really don't want his input because we already know how we want it to turn out. So we pray like this, and then we get on the other side and we answer like a lunatic, like someone who's talking to himself. It's pretty amazing. Well, how do we, in asking for God's guidance, overcome the limitations, tap into his unlimited knowledge? If we don't do that, we're going to have a problem being submitted to God. And that's the next thing I want you to jot down. How do I make a good decision? Yes, ask God for his guidance. And in that, we're recognizing our own limitations. But also under this, we're responding, or we respond in submission to him. If he knows everything, it's smart for us to come under his leadership. Submission to the Lord, it's kind of a mind place. It's a mindset of great power. I want tonight to be a little bit personal, and it should be because of these topics. And this one right here, when I say that it's a mind place, I wrote down in my notes that submission under the Lord, it's a mind place of great power for me, Jack, personally. It causes me to ask for the God thing to get done in my life. I'm big in my private prayer life of asking the Lord for the God thing to get done in my life. Lord, I want you to do the God thing. And here's the fun part. Somebody asked me, what's the God thing? I have no idea. That's the cool part. I want to come to the Lord and I want to pray and ask him, Lord, do your God thing in my life. I'll be honest with you, in my home, I will pray over my family, even though now they're married and moved away. I'll still pray, Lord, cause this home, this family, this church to be an object of your affection. And Lord, according to your wisdom, spoil us as your people. So what does that mean? I don't know. I don't care. He knows exactly how to answer that prayer. That's the God thing in my life. God, you do it. You do your thing. His thing is better than any plan you and I could ever concoct and master and put together and draw. The more we plan things out, the less faith we have. Oh my gosh, it's huge after all. We give up. We're simply to respond in submission to his will. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place." This is how you make godly decisions. Pray. "And when he had ceased from praying, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And so Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name, your kingdom come,'" here it is, "'your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" Bring heaven down to your situation. Do you have a situation, my friend, right now? What is it? What is it? It's your thing. You know what it is. You got it. Is it an issue? Is it a problem? How big is it? It's so big, Pastor Jack. It's huge. Whew, good thing it's gigantic and massive and it's bigger than you. You get to call in reinforcements from heaven. For some reason, we think that it's so gigantic, the answer that we need to get from the Lord is so impossibly gigantic that it's never going to come our way. And yet, our God is a big God. He's awesome. Oh, and is he ever faithful? The great thing is to submit to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, Paul gives us a great example of biblical submission. And you can count on the answer. Paul was sick, you know, very sick. Paul lived a life that was filled with sickness, it appears, from not only the Bible, but church history. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says there that Paul said, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." He's asking God to heal him. Paul prays three times. "And the Lord, he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Notice Paul's answer. "Therefore," or in light of what I just heard from God, "most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities," that's my weaknesses, my problems, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul found a secret. And that verse has been dear to us and for generations. For the Christian, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. I need the encouragement. Yes. For us who are Christians, when we are weak, we get to say, "Lord, I'm weak. Be my strength." It's a dangerous day when we say, "God, I've got it from here. Take it easy." I'm sure angels go, "Oh, no." But why do so many Christians make so many huge mistakes in decision making? And I've noticed, maybe you have, certainly in ministry, we hear it all the time, but if you just wait around long enough, somebody will make a decision, it's a horrible decision, and then later when it all falls apart, guess who gets the blame? God does. I don't know why the Lord did that in my life. Oh, let me tell you. As a pastor, that's the "thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He's not talking about the staff sitting over there behind their desk. And he's not talking about some guy named Rod. There's a staff and there's a rod, and the rod is used to knock the side of the head of a lamb. "Hey, wake up. I don't know, you know what? I did this thing and the whole thing imploded and I lost everything, and I don't know why God did that to me." Boom! Don't blame God for your inability to wait on him. And when we won't submit to God's will, we get all pumped up. I gotta have an answer. I gotta do this thing now. Listen, Christian, God is never stressing, wiping his brow. "Oh my gosh, Jack, will you hurry up? Come on, hurry, hurry. I gotta get going here." That's how I am. That's not how he is. Submission is key. There's a discipline here to learn. James chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Let this man who's asking of God ask in faith without doubting." Don't doubt. Like, "God, will you hear my prayer?" He probably won't. "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, and he's unstable in all of his ways." This is a very, very serious thing. In the Christian church today, men and women, young men and women as well, need to be people of faith that comes from the Bible. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And this is the deal. When we pray Bible. And when we pray Bible, we can pray believing. We can pray trusting. He will answer his word. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to be unstable about your request. Meaning that when the answer comes, you don't have to back up and wonder, is this God or not God? Church, listen. Don't pray generic prayers. When you pray, when you see the prayers in the Bible, they're very specific prayers. Don't pray like, Lord, bless me. I mean, you can pray that, but when he blesses you, how are you going to know if he's blessed you and answered the prayer if you say, bless me? What does that mean? Well, if you take a breath the next after you pray the prayer, oh, he's blessing you. Isn't he? He's blessing you. But what are you asking for? When you submit to him and you, in that moment of submission, and you're saying, Lord, I'm asking you in my life to answer me in this thing or to bring this about in my life if it be your will. Pray specifically. Watch what he does. Are you a young man here this evening and you're praying for direction in God's in your life? You want God to speak to you? You want direction? Pray specific. The moment you begin to pray specific prayers, I believe God goes to work in your life because you're going to recognize the specific answer when he answers. Your faith will explode. And the next prayer you pray will be bigger than the one you had prayed earlier. Why? Because you're pumped up now. You're ready to go to battle. You're right now ready to take on those dark things in your life or the dark things in your son's life or your daughter's life or your wife or your husband's life. You're ready to go to war because you know God's listening. There's nothing like it. Well, he's always listening. But we don't always catch the answer. James 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, off target, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. We make a lot of jokes about that verse, you know, when we say, oh, Lord, you know, allow me to win the lotto, and I'll give it all to you, God. You know, and then the winning numbers, you're scratching them. Nobody would do that because that's gambling, and you don't gamble with God's money. That's for people who go to some other church. They're scratching the numbers 5, 22, 36. What did I say, God? Did I say I'd give you everything? How about 50%? And the closer you get to the winning number, you start backing off of your commitment. That's ridiculous. You pray to ask something for your own self. Oh, Lord, if you just, I can make it to hospital visitations much quicker if I had a Ferrari. Doesn't work that way.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Decision. A look at what Scripture says about believers being able to make good choices with the Almighty's wisdom and guidance. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, what we just heard is available online at realradioactive.org. You can hear today's broadcast once again or purchase the message in its entirety. And in fact, you can subscribe to podcasts of Real Radio. Just visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click the orange button that says simply podcast. And then it takes you to a page that shows you exactly what to do. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.